You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
Our pastor for this privilege and opportunity to come and stand before you. To my brethren in the clergy, to all of you, my father's children, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lest I should hold you too long, turn with me to the book of beginnings. Y'all looking at me strange. The book of Genesis. It's okay. Just a little jokey joke. Book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapter number 50. I just want to uplift one verse out of the 50th chapter. Verse number 20. This is the word of the Lord. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. I want to tag this text, the designated survivor. The designated survivor. There is a TV show that has been themed the designated survivor. And the purpose of this television show is there is a man by the name of Tom Kirkman. Tom Kirkman is a lower cabinet member. And the lower cabinet member has been assigned what is called the designated survivor role. What happens is the president of the United States is set to give the State of the Union address, and his entire cabinet is to be present. They leave one member behind in case of a disaster. There's somebody left behind. If you would allow me just for a moment, sometimes God will leave you out to save you. The lower cabinet member is left out. And so what happens on this night of the State of Union address is that there is a bombing, and the president and his entire cabinet is killed. However, Tom Kirkman, a lower cabinet member, is left behind. And he now is thrust into the position as president, the lower cabinet member. He was not the vice president. He was not the secretary of state. He was the lower cabinet member. He was the housing and urban department development secretary. He had no real stature, but he was designed to be left behind to carry on in the case of a disaster, which is to suggest to some of us today that sometimes God will leave you behind, and it has nothing to do with your education. It has nothing to do with your stature. Sometimes God knows that you are ready to take on the responsibility of being the next leader. Watch it, Tom Kirkman. He is the designated survivor. And so what happens now is he is thrust into the president's role. Now, he does not have the support of everybody, because as the show goes on, you soon discover that not everybody is in support of the fact that he is now the new president. And just because you have been designed to be the designated survivor, it does not mean that everybody is happy at the fact that you are the designated survivor. Simply suggesting that there are some folk who are not happy that you made it. there are some folk who are trying to figure out how you got to where you are and how you are smooth as you are, how you still look as good as you look after everything you've been through. There are some folk who are just not happy with the fact that you are the designated survivor. Don't worry, I've already snuck into my text. Joseph is an interesting story to us. For the Bible teaches us in Genesis 37 that Joseph is born to his father in his old age. And because he's born to his father in his old age, the Bible shows us that Jacob, Israel, favored Joseph. He favored him so much so that he made him a coat of many colors. And the coat of many colors made his brothers jealous. Can I submit unto you that every now and then when God favors you, somebody gets jealous. Don't sit there real quiet because you might be the jealous one. Every now and then when God opens doors for you, somebody gets jealous. Every now and then when he gives you breath of fresh air, somebody gets jealous. When you get the promotion, somebody got jealous. When you got the husband, somebody got jealous. When you got the wife, somebody got jealous. You got the house, y'all gonna play. Somebody got jealous at what God had done in your life. Joseph is unique to us. Because his brethren, watch this, is jealous. Now, notice who's jealous here. It is not his enemies, it's his brethren. I need this pause right there real quick to tell you that the jealous people in your camp won't be your enemies. It just might be the people that carry your last name. It might be the people that carry your blood. But every now and then, you need to thank God that the favor of God on my life is not predicated upon folks' jealousy. God still blessed me even though he knew how jealous you were. Would be. Is there anybody that can celebrate that God's favor is still on me, even though you are jealous? Watch it. Joseph is interesting to us because not only is his brothers jealous, they come up with a plot to kill him. For Joseph is also a dreamer. And you have to be careful who you reveal your dreams to, because not everybody can handle the dreams that God has given you. Interesting that Joseph is a dreamer, and every time he brings his dreams to his brothers get an attitude and hate him the more. One day his father sends him after his brothers. And when his brothers see him come, watch the text in Genesis 37. I'm a text preacher. The Bible says that his brothers see him coming, and here comes the dreamer. And they come up with a plot to kill their brother. And then they thought better of the plot to kill the brother, so eventually what they do is they take him and they sell him for 20 pieces of silver. Watch this, y'all missed it. It's amazing to me that they sold him. That literally suggests to us that they said, you are worth nothing to us, but you might be worth something to them. Let me see if I can paint the picture for you. What that simply suggests is not everybody sees you as having worth, but some folks see you as their gain. Have you ever discovered that there are some folk who don't want to be bothered with you until you can do something for them? Okay, y'all gonna play with me today. They only call you when they in need. They don't speak to you. They don't talk to you. But the moment that you can be of some use to them now. Watch text. He was of no use to them. He was sick and tired of Joseph. He's a dreamer. We hate him because he's got favor. He's got a coat of many colors. Daddy treats him different. But wait a minute, we're not going to kill him because we can benefit. Watch text. They sell him into slavery. Interesting enough that they sell him, and now he is in, by the time we get to Genesis 39, he's in Potiphar's house. He has gained favor. And he's in Potiphar's house.
as he's in Potiphar's house, Potiphar has favored him. He's done good in Potiphar's house. The Bible says that he found grace in the eyesight of Potiphar. Potiphar now trusts him in his house. His house is blessed because Joseph is there. But Potiphar is married to a woman. And the woman sets her eyes on Joseph. Joseph is a favorite man. He's a fairly good-looking young man. And the wife has set her eyes on Joseph. Now, here's what's interesting. There one day comes, and when the day shows up, nobody's around. Joseph is in the house, and she says, "Today is the day I'm going to get me some Joseph. If you would allow me to use my spiritual mind right now," she put on some Johnny Gill and she slipped on her red dress and her high heels and she put on some of that sweet perfume that soul smelled good on her. And she said, "Today I'm going to get me some Joseph." Watch what happens. She set the mood. She set the atmosphere. And she says, "I'm going to get him between the sheets." She had the Isley Brothers on track number two. She says, "It's going down today." And as she plots and plans, notice what happened. Joseph says, "Listen, your husband has been good to me. God has been good to me. I've made it through some things. You don't know what it took for me to get to where I am right now. And I refuse to sacrifice my spiritual integrity for a moment of temporary pleasure." And the Bible teaches us that Joseph flees and she rips his garments. Let me see if I can point to you. She leaves. He leaves. She rips his garments and he leaves the garments behind. Baby, you can have the garment, but you can't have me. Let me preach to some of y'all real quick. You need to tell some things and people in your life. You can have my garment, but you can't have me. You can have my house. You can have my car, but you can't have my sanctity. You can't have my joy. You can't have my love. You can't have my peace. Is there anybody in here that says you can have the world, but you can't have the God in me? Watch text. Leaves his garment and she comes up with the unique plan that she's going to set him up. She says, "Your servant, him, the one you like, the one that you favor, the one that you've given position, he tried to come in and lie with me." Interesting that Potiphar, in my humble opinion, really must not have believed his wife too much, because he had the authority to have Joseph killed. But he just threw him in prison. Just my opinion that if it was my wife, I would have killed him. I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. But Joseph had favor with him, and Potiphar evidently didn't really believe his wife's story. So here he is. He throws him in prison. Watch this. He's now in prison by the time we get to Genesis number 40. When we get to Genesis number 40 and he's in prison, he now finds favor with the jailer. The running theme has been, up until this point, that God has been with Joseph. He's been hated on by his brothers, sold by his brothers, lied on by a woman, but yet God has still been with Joseph. Can I submit unto you that when, no matter what happens in your life, as long as you remain faithful and upright, God will be with you and he will open doors for you. When folk lie on you, when folk mistreat you, you ain't got to worry about it, because God has already mapped out a plan for your deliverance. All you got to do is wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Watch it. He's in jail. He's in prison, and he's now he has favor with the prisoner, with the jailer. He has favor with him. And now the Bible teaches us that Pharaoh has a cupbearer and a baker. And evidently somebody has tried to poison Pharaoh. He says, listen, you two got to go prison. They go to prison. And there in prison, they have a dream. When they have a dream, they have no one there to interpret the dream. However, Joseph is there. Joseph interprets the dream. After Joseph interprets the dream, watch the interesting facts. He tells the cupbearer, in 3 days, you're going to get out of here. He tells the baker, in 3 days, you're going to die. Well, we know who's guilty here because the baker dies. But notice what he tells the cupbearer. He says to him, when you get out of here, remember me. Watch what happens. The cupbearer gets out in 3 days and he forgets about Joseph. Can I submit unto you? Aren't you sick and tired of individuals who you help, and then when it came time for them to help you, they was nowhere to be found? Simply just remember me. But I want to tell you today, guess what? God remembers even when men forget. As long as you do for what you do for the cause of Christ, God will remember you when people forget about you. And that's a good word for somebody today, because you've been struggling with the fact that you've helped people when they couldn't help themselves. But now when you get in the jam, you can't find nobody to help you. God says, don't you worry about them. I got your back. I remember what you have done. Watch
what happens in the text. Some years go by according to history, and now Pharaoh has a dream. And nobody can help Pharaoh interpret his dream. Watch what God does. The cupbearer then remembers Joseph. Says, when I was in jail, when I was in prison, there was a man, a young man there who helped me. Watch what happens. Go get him. I need him in my life. He goes and gets him. Joseph interprets the dream. Watch the favor of God. Now, after interpreting the dream, the Pharaoh says, listen, you are so awesome. You are so amazing. You must be governor over all of Egypt. He gets a promotion from prison. He gets a promotion from the dungeon. He gets a promotion when it really should seem like nothing is going right in his life. Every now and then, God will allow you to be in a dark place right before the break of day. For you do realize that it's just as dark as right before the break of day. Notice what happens. He is now the governor, and there is now a famine in the land. And his daddy finds out that there is corn in Egypt. He sends his sons to Egypt, and Joseph recognizes his brethren, and the Bible says that he deals roughly with them. He deals harshly with them because there are some emotions still on the inside of him because of what they did wrong to him. He deals harshly with them. Says, then you have another brother. Where is he? They go and get Benjamin, bring him back. When they bring him back, they say, leave him here. Don't go on about your business. And notice what happens. He begins to ask questions about his father. He begins to realize within himself, I can't stay angry forever. And so now the journey has happened. The reunion has happened of the family. Everybody is coming back together. He gets back in contact with his father. Once he gets back in contact with his father, interesting facts happen. They grow close, and then his daddy dies. His daddy dies. And so now he has to manage the grief of, now I just got my daddy back, and then I lost him. Now, interesting, I'm in Genesis 50. I promise you, I'm not going to hold you long. I got one point, and when I get to the one point, we gone. That's all history. All of this is just history. Notice what happens. His daddy's gone. He buries his father. after he buries his father, his brothers say, daddy's dead now. He might deal with us a little harshly. So they send a message begging, don't treat us harshly. Notice his response to his brothers. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He says, everything you desired to do to me, it was for evil, but God meant it for good. God didn't allow what your plan was to determine the destiny of my life. God turned what you meant for evil for good for me. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad today that God did not allow the plans of the enemy to determine where my life would be. I wish I could preach right there, because most of us right now, we should be able to celebrate that God turned around what the enemy had assigned to our lives. We're not here right now because the enemy wants us to be here. We're here right now because God had grace and mercy on our lives, and he saved us and kept us when our enemies wanted to destroy us. Is there anybody in here that can celebrate that I made it through some tough times in my life because God's hand was on my life? I made it through enemies lying on me. I made it through backbiting. I made it through folk leaving me out. I made it through sickness. I made it through trials. I've been broke. I've been hungry. But I'm still here as a testimony that God didn't allow what I went through to destroy me. But he brought me to this day. And I don't know about you, because I'm here after everything I've been through. I will bless the Lord at all times because he's worthy to be praised. Watch the text. Watch text. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I survived it because God had an intentional plan for me to make it through what you thought was going to kill me. God's preserved me. Watch this. When you read it, get home, Genesis number 45, you're around verse number 3. You soon discover that Joseph says, the Lord sent me ahead of you to preserve the land. God had a plan in saving me, and it was for me to persevere. It was for me to be saved. It was for me to get things ready for you. Watch it. Notice here, he says, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Here's the catch to the text. To save much people alive. I'm in the Bible. He says, I went through all of that so that I could save much people alive. I know it's only 9:18 in the morning, but this is a good place to give God some glory, because what that simply denotes is you went through all of that to save somebody alive. You went through all of that so that you could be a testimony to the goodness of Jesus Christ and what he's able to do and how he's able to save, how he's able to provide, how he's able to protect. Is there anybody in here with a testimony that I've been through some stuff, but I didn't go through it for me? I went through so that I could tell somebody about how good God has been, the ways he's made for me, the doors he's opened for me, how he saved me, how he delivered me. Is there anybody in this place you can testify? I might have been sick in my body, but God allowed me to come out of that so that I could tell somebody he's able to heal. He's able to deliver. He's able to make a way out of no way. Is there anybody in here with a testimony that God is able? Watch text. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, as it is this day to save much people alive. Well, I'm come to my close, but I need to parallel Genesis 50 and 20 with the life of Jesus. If you would give me just a moment to parallel the two. Jesus is born of a virgin. He heals the sick, saves the soul, raises the dead, open blinded eyes, and yet they still find a way to crucify the one that came to save the world. Watch what happens in the life of Jesus. He's hated on by those who are closest to him. He's betrayed by those who are closest to him. He's lied on by those who are closest to him, only for him to get to a place where one Friday he was ready to die for the sins of the world. And so everything that Jesus went through was just to get to a place to save many people alive. Can I submit unto you that Jesus suffered? He was whipped with a cat of nine tails, crown of thorns placed upon his brow, spit upon, lied upon, beat. He didn't even look like a man, but he went through all of that just to get to a place where he can save folk. Y'all don't know when to shout. That's a good place to shout. He went through all of that just to die and save you. You do know that he died one Friday. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early the third day morning, he rose with all power in his hand. He went through that just for you, just so that you can be saved. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that he saved my dying soul. He saved my wretched soul as it is this day. I'm saved because of Jesus. Watch it. Watch Jesus. Jesus reveals to us the perfect designated survivor. For it had already been prophesied that he would be wounded for our transgressions, that he would be bruised for our iniquities. But it was also prophesied that in 3 days he would get up. Which simply means no matter what you did to him, he was going to get up anyhow. Okay, y'all missed my last good shouting point. I'm out of here. What that simply suggests is that Jesus was saying, I am the designated survivor. I can go through it, and because I went through it, you can go through it. Because I made it, you can make it. Is there anybody in here? You say, I can make it because my Savior made it. I can make it because my Savior lives. Life is still worth the living, and living just because he lives. I don't know how you feel about it, but I am a designated survivor. I've been through some stuff. I'm going through some stuff. And as long as God is with me, I'm going to come out of this thing. Is there anybody in here? I ain't got time to be angry. I ain't got time to be mad, because God is at work on me. God is saving somebody through me. I got a testimony about the goodness of God and what he's done for me and what he's able to do. Is there anybody in here? You got a testimony that God is able and he will deliver. I'm the designated survivor. Designated survivor. Here it is. I love the show, because now that he's full president, it doesn't mean that the trouble is over. But what he does know now is that I'm able to make it through it. In the recent season of Designated Survivor, he loses his wife in a car crash, and he's having a meltdown. But as he's melting down, the one thing about it is he has the strength within him, because he know, I made it through tough times before. And so you need to know today that if you are here today and you are a designated survivor, you've been through it before, guess what? The same God that brought you through it before is the same God who will do it again. Don't you dare lose hope. Don't you get weary. Don't you get down on yourself, because God will do it again. I didn't come to be deep. I come to encourage you. You made it because of the grace of God. You made it because of the favor of God. You made it despite what they said, despite what they thought, despite what they did. I know what the report of the doctor is, but I know a great physician. And you made it because of the great physician. You are the designated survivor. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sin, we extend to you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.